I'm Dave Wallner from Reaching Out Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
As at Linston's Fontaine, unser Glaubens auch alles muss sehen, und von Jesu geführt an der Hand, wird sein Volk dort in Frieden angehen. Bald ja bald,
bald ja bald,
oh wie schön,
oh wie schön,
werden wir auch dort jubeln angehen.
Over the last few months, we've seen the coronavirus taking its toll on the people of North America. And I want to explain something here. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time to this program, I have been teaching on these things over the last 30 years. As we get closer to the end, we will see these things multiplying. This is just one of the harbingers, or should we say the warnings of God, that things are going to get worse. We're getting closer to the end, and the Bible teaches us it'll be like a woman in travail with child. The contractions are going to become they're going to be more and more intense and closer together. So this is what we need to expect. But when I look at the coronavirus, when I see the people of this nation, how fearful they are, it simply boggles my mind. I'm used to reading the persecuted church, the stories of the persecuted church. And I've read the stories of Wurm Brand and these types of people that had to go to prison for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what they suffered is what we're suffering now does not compare to what those people went through. And you know, one time I remember as a young Christian, I was reading one of these books where this guy went through such horrendous suffering that I even cried before the Lord and told him I'm not worthy to be in the kingdom with him. And the Lord rebuked me sharply. He said, Dave, what is bringing this man into the kingdom? Is it his suffering? And then I had to say, I'm sorry, it's not the suffering of the church that brings him into the kingdom. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes him ready. Yes, you may suffer for following Jesus, but it's the blood of Jesus that brings you into the kingdom. And we better understand that. And for those of us who are afraid today, who are afraid of what's coming on the scene, you need to understand there is a comforter that has been sent to us. And it's that comforter speaking to you. And that comforter is called the Holy Spirit. If you are not in communication with that comforter, then maybe that's why you're afraid. Maybe that's why you're not at ease. I, for myself, I know what's going to happen, so it doesn't take me by surprise. I want to teach on this comforter today, because far too many of the church today, they don't even understand that they have received that comforter when they become born again. Far too many of us are involved in different gods, sports, work, whatever it is that has your attention, where you bring most of your energies to. This is a God that God needs to take away from us if we're going to be ready for the kingdom of God. For he comes for a church that is without spot or wrinkle, made so by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today I will teach on that comforter and will show you how important he is in our lives. But before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. And I ask you, Lord, that you will open your word to those who are reading, Lord, those who are studying, that you will open their hearts and their minds and bring them comfort by the very comforter that you have sent to us. I thank you for your grace. I ask you to anoint this message. Bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 16 in verse 7, it tells us this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. That's Jesus talking. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, and of sin, because they believe not on me. So we understand the Comforter was sent at the day of Pentecost. 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit came upon the Church of Jesus Christ. And since then, throughout the ages, the Comforter has been showing the people of God what to do and what to expect. He speaks to us. It tells us here, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When we look at the world system today, we can see the sin, but they don't believe in the judgment. We know the church believes that there is sin. We know the church also believes that there is a righteousness and there is a judgment. Here is how it works. We are all dead in trespasses and sin, born so because of what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. So the curse of sin is upon us. But then the righteousness of God is revealed to us. We then can become righteous By turning to this Jesus for our salvation, we then receive the righteousness of God. And once we understand that, we can talk about the judgment that is to come for those who don't turn to this God. Because the world does not want to accept the fact that there is a God and there is going to be judgment. Much of the world, much of the church world, doesn't understand the righteousness that they receive. They understand their sin. They also understand that there's a judgment to come, which is the eternal lake of fire. But the righteousness that we're also supposed to preach comes from Jesus Christ our Lord when we accept Him as our Savior. So it tells us He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, so that there's sin here and there's also righteousness and there is also judgment. So I'm asking the question today, have you received the righteousness of God? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive righteousness, you receive holiness, you receive pureness, you become like Jesus Himself. You are His brother, you are His purchased possession. That's what righteousness means. It means you as if you have never sinned. You're right in the eyes of God. Now listen to John chapter 16 in verse 13. How about when He, the Spirit of truth, is come? He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. So now I have a question here. Has the Spirit of truth come upon you? The Bible teaches us we are all baptized into one body by one Spirit. If that Spirit of truth has come upon you, then He speaks to you. So the question I have, has the Holy Spirit spoken to you? Has the Holy Spirit told you that you belong to Him? That you're going to heaven, that you're seated in heavenly places? Has the Holy Spirit spoken to you of the things that are to come? Has He opened your mind about salvation? Do you understand salvation? See, the Comforter is there to give you comfort. And what comfort do you have if you don't know that you know that you belong to God and that you're going to heaven? If you don't know that you're going to heaven, you are filled with confusion and you will always be trying to learn and trying to do things to enter into the kingdom. The Comforter should tell you that by His word, by the word that is written, that you have achieved eternal life by believing in Jesus Christ. The Comforter should have opened your heart to that, and it should have opened your mind to that, and should have shown you what it is to be born again. If you're lacking that, you're not communicating with the Comforter if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. The Bible teaches us something different. Also, in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11, He gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen to this. The church has rejected as a whole almost apostles. They have rejected the prophets. They can accept the evangelists, they can accept the pastors, they can accept the preachers or the teachers. But the prophets and the apostles, the ones that have the gift of prophecy, the ones that have the apostleship on them, they are the ones that are telling us of what is to come. I listen to prophets. I listen to apostles. I know who they are. I don't know them all, but I know some of them. And I know what's going to come. I knew that Donald Trump was going to become president 3 months before he was president, just by listening to prophets, just by listening to the apostles that God has out there. The problem with the prophets and the apostles today, much of the world shuns them. They're listening to preachers and teachers that are telling us that the power of the Holy Spirit, the apostles and the prophets, they went out with the apostles. That's a lie from the pits of hell. These prophets and apostles are still with us. And many of them don't come forward because they're afraid of what the church is going to do to them. I want to encourage you today. If you feel that God gives you a prophecy, don't worry about revealing it and showing it to people. Just take a step of faith and go for it. Never mind what people say or think, but make sure you know that you know that you heard from God. Because God wants us to know what is coming. He doesn't want people to be confused. So be careful. Make sure you know that you're hearing from the Holy Ghost and not from some audible voice that pretends to be God. That happens to a lot of people already today. They hear audible voices, but when you listen to their messages, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Regardless how audible the voice is that is speaking to you, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it is an imposter. It is somebody that comes as an angel of light. Because the Bible teaches us, my word is above my name. If the one talking to you doesn't line up with Scripture, scrap that guy. Get rid of him. Get him out of your life. Don't listen to his voice. He is a demon from hell. And then the apostles and prophets and teachers should listen to this scripture, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So the prophets, the apostles, the teachers, the evangelists, they're no higher than anybody else. For we are all one body by one Spirit. We have been baptized into one body by one Spirit. We all are part of a body. We are all the same. Even though some have the anointing for doing this, some have the anointing for doing that, that doesn't make somebody who seems to be less any less. Because in the eyes of God, we're all equal. We're all His children. And we need to understand that. So I'm asking you to open your heart and your eyes to these things. Accept the prophets. Accept the apostles. Accept the evangelists, the pastors. Listen to them. But make sure that you have a relationship with Christ. These people can lead you into what Scripture is teaching. But if you want to know from God yourself, you have to dig in for yourself so that you have a revelation for yourself from God. So God wants us to see that. It's a personal relationship, a one-on-one with Jesus Himself. Never mind the mechanics of Christianity. It's a relationship that counts. And people need to understand this. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Ich bin dein, o Herr, deine Stimme sprach die Vergebung.
zu des Kreuzes heilgen dies. Was mir teuer war, geb ich hin für dich, und mein Schaden ist gewinst. Zieh mich näher, näher an dein Herz, zu des Kreuzes teuren Stamm. Zieh mich näher, näher, Jesus mein, o du lebend Opferlamm. O die reine Lust, wenn das Herz sie ganz Herr in deine Liebe versenkt und im Lebensdrang sich mit Leib und Liebestiefen gibt's, die kein Herz ermisst, das nicht Jesu dir rechnet. Freudenhehen gibt's, die kein Auge reicht, das nicht Herr dein Antlitz sagt. Zieh mich näher, näher Gott und Herr, zu des Kreuzes teuren Stamm.
For this part of the program, I want to preach or teach those who do not quite understand the way of salvation. They may have fear in their hearts today because of the coronavirus. They don't quite know that they're ready. They don't know what's coming on ahead, and they're not quite sure about their salvation. One of the greatest joys in my life is to teach a person that doesn't quite understand the simplicity of the gospel. If I can make a person see his righteousness, his total salvation, if I can lead a person into a freedom where he can rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, that makes my day. That's what gives me joy and peace. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 28, it tells us, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. What does that mean? You're justified without the deeds of the law. You're justified by faith. It simply means this. The mechanics of Christianity aren't as important as the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many, many people who have the mechanics of Christianity. They do everything that is right. They try to follow the law to the T. But alas, not that there is anything wrong with that. But if you depend on that for your salvation, the Bible teaches us these people will stand before God and say, have we not done this in your name? Didn't we do many wonderful things? And the Lord will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now listen to Romans chapter 3 in verse 21. For those of you who don't quite see, it tells us, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as he was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for anyone who believes, no matter who we are, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when He freed us from the penalty of our sin. This is written in the Word of God. The New Living Testament brings it out very clearly. You can read whatever version of the Bible you want. It's still going to come to this conclusion that the Lord God makes us right in His sight because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. This should bring joy and peace to a person's heart. You do not have to worry about the mechanics of Christianity. Yes, you will try and follow the Lord. I'm trying to follow the Lord as much as I can. But yet, I fail. In many cases, I fail. And the Bible teaches if you fail in one, you fail in all. Now, God has shown us a different way. It's not by keeping the mechanics of Christianity. It's by having faith in the finished work of the cross, where He paid for your sin and my sin. The Bible teaches us He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So this is how I want to somehow bring joy to your heart today. I want to show you that Jesus loves you, He died for you, and He paid for the sin of the whole world. But there is a stipulation. You have to accept it for yourself. And regardless how dark your past is, you can be made clean and holy as God Himself by the precious blood that He shed on the cross for us. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, it tells us, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." How beautiful is that? We know we can't do it. Many of us have tried, we've tried religiously to follow the rules, the regulations. But deep in our hearts, we know we're falling short. We cannot please God. And especially as you get older, you know you need something that you can be sure of. And the Bible teaches us, "These things have I written unto you, that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So if you believe these things, if they're settled in your heart, if they become a reality with you, then you have entered into a rest that Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 talks about. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.